Blog Talk Radio.
A new strength and a new new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha ha ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Hey, shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters. Shalom, shalom. How's everyone? Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me good? Give me a one in the chat room. Shalom, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, you sound so, oh, my God. My God is good. We serve a mighty God. Our Father in heaven is wonderful. He loves his children. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're waiting on our brothers and sisters to log in. Let's clear their airways. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together, Lord God, on one accord, Lord God, over many miles, Lord God, in different houses, Lord God, but we come as your children, Father, humbly before you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We bind all the spirits of the enemy that would come against this program from the north to the south to the east to the west in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, allow your children to log on and hear what thus saith the Lord, what you have to say to the church tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God. Let us be fulfilled. Let us be edified. Let us be strengthened that we may go on to live another day and to see another day. Guide us, Lord God, in this dark time that we're in, Lord God. Give us the words to say, Lord God. Give us the way to go, which you would want for our lives, Lord God, and help us to submit to you, Lord God, the things that we need to submit to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters. Shalom. How's everyone? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We serve such a mighty God. In Psalms 21:1, it says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly he rejoice." Hallelujah. So we see that our king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, in the salvation, how greatly he shall rejoice. He's rejoicing in us just like we rejoice in him. And in Psalms 28, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is their strength." He is our strength, my brothers and sisters. When you're feeling weak, you can go to God, and he's our strength. And then in the Bible it says, he is the saving strength of his anointed. God is our saving strength. God is our refuge. God is our shield. God is, he's our buckler. The Lord has everything that we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom. Shalom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We serve such a mighty God. Hallelujah. In Psalms 84:7, it says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. So we're going to grow, and as we grow in our walk from strength to strength, we're going to eventually appear before the good Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right now, God has his eyes on everything that's going on. God is not slack. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. He's watching over everything that's going on. He sees with his eyes. His eyes can see all the way down into the cities below the earth. He can see all the way down into man's bunkers. He can see all the thoughts of their hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad to be here. I thank God for this time, the time that we're living in, because we're going to see God do a miracle for his children. We are so blessed. It might not seem like you're not blessed, but my brother, my sister, I want you to understand that we are in the times, we are in the times that the children of Israel and the children of old, the prophets of old, wanted to see this time ahead. They wanted to experience what God is going to do for his church. They wanted to see that, and hallelujah. And we've seen Paul in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God gave him to see what would happen to the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, somebody could post that into the chat room. And it says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. Hallelujah. Even as others which have no hope. So he's saying here that he wouldn't want us to be ignorant concerning the people which are asleep, and that we should not sorrow for the things that we see that's going on around us, the things that's happening all around us, to the people that's happening, everybody we know that's taking the vaccine, everybody that we know that's going through such a hardship right now. You put your focus on the Lord. And this is where God is trying to train everyone right now, for us to all put our focus on him and him alone. Hallelujah. So that we can move on to the next stage where God would deem that he see us fit. So it says in back to the Bible. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to be 13 through 18. And it says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, also them which sleep in Jesus will bring with him. Excuse me. Even so, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. So, brothers and sisters, hallelujah, hallelujah, happy birthday, hallelujah. We which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. So these are action. We have to alive. We have to be alive, and we have to stay and keep ourselves for the Lord. And we have to remain. And we have to remain. And what that remaining means, we have to stay in God's perfect will. We have to stay in his will. We have to stay under his shadow. We have to stay led by the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Lord, he's looking at his children. He's bringing the last sheep into his fold. He's gathering everybody together, and he has a number that he's looking for. Hallelujah. Because he is coming for his children. The Lord is coming, and he will not delay much longer. Thank you, Jesus. So we have a destination that we're going to, my brothers and my sisters. But we have to remain for him. We have to keep ourselves for him. Just as a bride who keeps herself for her husband until the marriage night. Hallelujah. Just to kind of use an analogy. Just to kind of use that analogy as a bride that keeps herself for her husband in her marriage night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have to keep ourselves in preparation for the Lord, because the time is going to come, which is going to happen real soon, when the Lord is going to, hallelujah, come from heaven. And he's going to say, come up here. And he's going to blow with the voice of an archangel. Hallelujah. So let me read it in the word before I get too far ahead of myself. And it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, my brothers and sisters. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven. Right now, the Lord is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting up there answering your prayers. He's sitting up there looking down upon you. He's sitting up there praying for you. He's sitting up there interceding for you. Hallelujah. He's sitting up there giving you access to the throne room. You have access through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you ask that, you ask the Lord for something, the Lord looks over and says, Father, grant my servant his prayer. And Father says, okay, it's done. Hallelujah. Now, this is what's transpiring in heaven. When you say, Lord, I need you, I plead your blood to heal me of something. So Father, the Lord says to the Father, Father, I felt what it was like to have that knee pain or that back pain, Lord. Father, heal my servant's back pain. And the Lord says, the God, our Father says, go ahead, it's done. And then that's how you receive your healing. Hallelujah, because he's interceding for you on your behalf. And then when that happens, when the Lord comes, Father's going to say, go ahead and get him, my son. And the Lord's going to shoot like a lightning bolt right out of heaven. Hallelujah. And he's going to be just appearing up in he's going to be appearing right in the clouds. And you won't see him until he blows the trumpet up there. You won't see him until he blows the trumpet up there. And he blows the trumpet and he says, come up here. And when this happens, my brothers, my sisters, the angels are going to shoot out from the heavens with the Lord. They're going to go and gather all the children. They're going to go and gather, hallelujah, all the wheat. They're going to gather all God's children that's ready, the bride. They're going to go gather all the bride. They're going to grab them. And they're going to go out like lightning bolts from heaven to all four corners of the earth. And they're going to go behind and they're going to scoop and they're going to grab God's children. And I felt them grabbing me from like under my armpits and lifting me up and flying. Like they were like you would grab a child from behind and pick them up and lift them up in the air. And that's how I felt them grab me. They grabbed me just like that and I started flying. Hallelujah. And that was such an amazing experience. And I could look up and I could see the Lord standing in the clouds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I could see him standing in the clouds. And he was just standing there so loving, so majestic, and so powerful. Oh, my God, my God. And that was one of the first rapture experiences I had. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God. I get so much joy because I start thinking about that, and that's going to happen someday soon. Oh, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. And it says, back to the word, it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet. You see what it says? We that are alive and remain. Look at that word remain again. Be alive. How do we be alive? For we got to be alive spiritually. We got to be pure for the Lord. Be thou holy, for I am holy. There's no exceptions for that. God is expecting us to be holy. God is expecting us to cleanse our garment. God is expecting us to pray and do what he commands in his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He says, be thou holy, for I am holy. If you're holy, when this happens, you're going home with the Lord. If you haven't been praying and you haven't been seeking God and your garments are stained and you're unholy, and you haven't been repenting, you're going to be left behind. And my brothers and my sisters, I'm here to tell you that there was no time, no time. Shalom, shalom, everyone that entered into the chat room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was no time when the Lord says, come up here. It's in a blink of an eye. It's in a blink of an eye. There's no time, and I repeat, there's no time to even think about repenting. There's no time to even get out, I'm sorry, because it happens so fast. It happens so fast, and it happens instantaneously. Your change. If you're repentant and everything, you've been looking for the Lord. You've been asking the Lord to cleanse your heart. You've been praying. You've been seeking God. You're going into heaven, and you're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. Hallelujah. And then you'll receive your glorified body, I believe. But before that, if there was no time, there's no time to repent if you're not ready. That's why it's essential to be ready. It's essential to get down on your hands and knees and cry out to God, to ask God to search your heart. It's essential to ask God to search your mind, remove the things out of your life. This is so essential right now. This is the time period that God has given us to do this, to go down and say, what saith the Lord? Does he tell me, the Lord's going to tell you to get all the idols out of your life, get all the idols out of your heart, whether that's people, whether that's persons, whether that's things, whatever you are putting before the Lord is going to command that you remove it before him. You can't have anything placed before the Lord. You can't hold on to the world and try to hold on to God at the same time. It does not fit. I'm going to say that again. You can't hold on to the things of this world and hold on to, hallelujah, yes, the self is an idol also. Yeah, self is a big idol. And the Bible says that they shall be lovers of themselves, because we can put ourselves before God. The Lord can tell us to fast. And we could tell the Lord, no, I don't want to fast. I don't want to pray today because I want to relax. I want to do what I want to do. And that's sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that is something that we got to put down before God. Any vain thought, anything that lifts itself up above God, we got to put it down before the Lord. And we got to ask God to remove that from us. We got to ask God to remove any and everything that's hindering us and hindering our walk. If you become stagnant in your walk as a Christian, hallelujah, if you become stagnant in your walk as a Christian, you need to grow. You got to grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You got to move for the Lord. Faith without works is dead. So this means there's an action. Hallelujah. Thank you for the scripture. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of themselves, contentiously, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And this is the days that we're living in. Men and women are lovers of themselves. They love themselves so much, they will actually do whatever they can and get over on anybody they can to profit themselves. They'll steal, kill, and destroy. They pick up the spirit of this world, the spirit of the Antichrist. They kill, steal, and destroy so they can get themselves ahead in this world. And those are the types that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. In order to be a true believer, these are the things that we have to get up out of our lives. These are the things that God has to remove from us. If you have any of these sins in your heart, God has to remove them. You have to ask God to create in you a clean heart, like Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. You know, and that should be one of your daily prayers. Lord, remove anything out of my heart, because the enemy puts seeds in our heart. And let me tell you, let me go into a little bit about this. The enemy puts seeds in our heart, and sometimes they start off from when you were a young child. These seeds, these evil thoughts, or these seeds that the enemy puts in your heart, they grow. They start to take root in your heart, and they start to grow into like a tree, and they start to produce fruit. And the fruit that they produce is evil fruit. And one often, whatever happens often is one sin leads to another sin, and another sin, and another sin. And they start to produce evil fruit and allow the enemy to open up multiple doors. And this is what the Lord is doing right now. The Lord is trying to close all these doors for the believers, so that way he can purify us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And he's trying to purify us and get us ready, because it's the Lord's doing this. The Lord is trying to get us ready so that we can go in the rapture, so that we can enter into heaven. You have to be holy to enter in heaven. You can't be whole, unholy entering into heaven. My brothers and sisters, you have to be holy. You got to be right standing before the Lord. They go before Father. And there is no unholiness up in heaven. God will not allow that to come and defile his sanctuary, his city. He will not allow you to even get into the gate if you're unholy and you're not ready. Thank you, Jesus. So we have to be ready. The Lord commands us to watch and pray and be ready like a thief that comes in the night. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening to that scripture. Psalm 51, verse 8 through 12. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. It says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And so David knew that God looked on the heart. And this is why the Lord said that David had a heart after him, because David had a seeking heart. David wanted to seek God. You know, David was a man. David messed up. He made a lot of mistakes in life, but he repented for his mistakes in life. He repented before God, and he asked God to forgive him. Well, no matter how hard it took or how much he had to go out and soil, and he went out and cried out to the Lord for some of his sins and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And God did not forsake David, because God loved David. You know, God was the one that anointed David. Hallelujah. And the Lord loves his children. The Lord will not forsake even one of his children. The Bible says that he will leave the 99 to go get the one. He will leave the 99 together in a group to run after that one child, because the Lord loves, and he says he will not lose even that one child. And hallelujah, hallelujah. And we are the children of God, and God is rounding everybody up to get us all ready. Hallelujah. And back to 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. And the Lord was saying, and he was showing me that once we receive our glorified bodies, once we get on our bodies, we're going to be in our glorified bodies forever, is what I've seen. We're going to be moving with the power of the Lord. We're going to be connected to the Lord like a battery source. to say, you know, just to kind of use like your cell phone and a battery as an analogy, just to try to explain it to you. If you connect your cell phone through your charger going into the wall, into the battery will never deplete. The battery will stay fully charged. And this is kind of how I seen when I received my glorified body. I was fully charged all the time. The battery did not deplete from me. You know, I was fully charged with the Lord. I was fully connected with the Lord. I could move in the full power of the Lord. I could move in the full authority of the Lord. It was like I really can't explain how, you know, God allowed me to feel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't explain it and put it in the words exactly. But you were moving in the full authority of the Lord. It was like a lightning going through you. And there was such power and such authority going through me that I was able to move from this place to that place. I was able to phase through walls. Like I was moving like like Jesus. I was moving like Jesus would be the way that I could probably describe it. I was able to just appear in and out of kind of shifting in and out of the spirit, shifting from one place and going in and out of the spirit in another place. And then I was moving with the full authority of the gifts. The full authority of the gifts. I was moving in the full power of the gifts. Hallelujah. And so with the gifts, I was able to lay hands on a brother and I watched him get healed right then instantaneously. There was not much prayer. Didn't even have to go into prayer language. Didn't have to do any of that. Just had to, hallelujah, just had to, you know, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed. Bam, and it instantaneously happened. Let me get a drink of water. And this is how the Lord was showing me, you know, when we had our spiritual bodies, when we were connected and we were changed in our glorified bodies, I didn't feel hunger. I did not feel any hunger. And I knew from that moment on, when the Lord gave me my glorified body, that there was a couple things that happened to me. One, I could not sin anymore. I could not sin anymore. There was no more sin. There was no connection to the world. There was no connection to the world because I was all connected to the Lord now. And the things of the Lord, the things of the world did not communicate well with the things of God. Hallelujah. So like in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and this is what I can describe to you in the word of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what I kind of seen was when I received my glorified body, I did not love the world. There was nothing in the world that could move my spirit anymore. The things of the world could not even move my spirit anymore. And it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I was full. So I did not have the love of the world in me. I had the love of the Father in me. The love of the Father was all the way in me. And I was operating completely in the love of the Father and the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust therefore and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And this is what I sing. When you get your glorified body, the only thing that you're going to be concerned with is doing the will of your Father. That's it. there's no more concern on you. There's no more. Your main focus is to do what God wants you to do. Whether that's going to be to go talk to brother so-and-so, go minister to brother so-and-so, go minister to sister so-and-so, go pray for healing, go pray for a resurrection, go pray, whatever the Lord places, whatever the Lord tells you to do is what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And at that point, you're just going to go around and spread the gospel. You're just going to go around and do whatever the Lord asks you to do. And then whenever the Lord says, okay, that's enough, then you come up here, and then we're going into heaven. We're going into heaven. And I seen a spiritual rapture. And I seen a spiritual, let's say, an ark. The Lord showed me an ark is what I seen. It was a big, giant, huge boat. And this boat was so big that it fit millions of people on it. And this was in the spirit. And I seen the children, all God's children, is gathering up. They pack their bags and they're leading and they're heading for this ark. And they're heading for this ark. And once this, and I seen in the spirit that this ark was a safe place. This ark was where the Lord was leading everybody to. And everybody was being led onto this ark, and the ark was safety. You know, we weren't concerned about the things that going on outside of the ark. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We weren't concerned about the things that's going on outside of the ark, because the things that's going on outside of the ark was horrific. It was hard times outside the ark. But we had to be focused and be led by the Lord on the things that's going on inside the ark and heading toward the inside of the ark. That's where we had to keep our focus on, and this is where God was leading everybody to. And once I seen the ark, and, you know, everybody kind of lined up, and they were getting in the ark, and it was like a huge, giant cruise ship, you know, just to kind of give you a visual reference. And the huge, giant cruise ship, everybody was like kind of walking and getting on the ramp and just going into the ark. And I seen the door begin to shut when everybody got loaded in there, and the door began to shut. And then I felt it was Father. Father was closing the door, and I felt Father lifting the door up, and I felt Father shut the door. Bam. And then once Father shut the door, there was nothing that was going to open that door. The door was shut. That was it. There was no more people getting in there. It was everybody that was on the outside, they were on the outside. Everybody that was on the inside was rejoicing. Everybody that was on the inside was rejoicing. They were thanking God. They were praising God. They were lifting up his name. They were so thankful. Lord, you know, I hear the children saying, Lord, we don't deserve to be here, but we're just so glad. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. And it was just a celebration that begun. Celebration that began for everybody that was on the inside. Then everybody that was on the outside was crying. They were mourning, and they were going through hell. They were going through torment, my brothers and sisters. They were going through torment. They were going through such hard things. Oh, my God, my God. There was no going back. And the days that we have right now, there's no going back. This is going to happen so soon. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, just as Brother Elvie shared this, let me see if I can pull it up. Oh, my God, my God. My God, my Lord. A prophetic word today. And I'm going to read it, and it says, oh, Lord Jesus gave me this personal word on Monday, 10/28, Monday the 28th, at 2:25. These are some edifying words regarding you from Jesus that the Lord has asked me to share with you. I love you, dear. I love you dearly in the Lord. Sorry about that. I'm messing this up. Increased the font size. It says, the Lord, brother, may you be blessed with this prophetic word. My daughter, I want you to speak. I am your destiny. You walk through the narrow road holding my hand. I will not let you go. I will not give you to another. You were born for me, to worship me for all eternity. You have been very alone for many years in your love and walk for me. Not once have you denied me since you came to know me, your Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. I have loved you with an overwhelming eternal love. My bride is soon coming home, where she will be always belonged at my side and at the service of the love and dedication to her King. As I have said before, only I, my Father, and the Holy Spirit are to be fully trusted. Your brother in the Lord, Brother Elvi, is a true servant of the Most High. He is greatly honored in heaven for his faithfulness, humility, and obedience to me. I have used him mightily in the area of gathering my true church, my bride, my bosom, my care. You can trust him, Jesse. Do not, under any circumstances, take the coronavirus vaccine. I am your healer, protector, and King of Kings. Much glory awaits my bride. Much glory awaits my children, my bride. Shalom, my children. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus. And I left a scripture, Psalms 36, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaching to the clouds. Oh, praise you, Lord. That was such an edifying word. I cried when I seen that. I cried when I seen that and said, Lord, you know, that Lord, I know you care so much about your children, Lord. I know you do, Lord. And I seen Brother Elvi in heaven. You know, I started out as a person that let me tell you how I ran into Brother Elvi. I was watching like YouTube videos, and this is how the Lord used Brother Elvi in my life. I was watching like YouTube videos, and I used to watch like prophecy videos or, you know, whatever the case might be. And I heard something that came along in my playlist that was from Brother Elvi. And, you know, and it was him talking, I think he was talking about the earthquake in California. And I want to say it was Shalom brothers and sisters that entered in to the chat room. I want to say it was the Three Signs video. It could have been before that. But he was talking about the earthquake in California, and it caught my interest. And I listened to everything that was played, and I thank God for that YouTube video, because the Lord spoke to me through that YouTube video, and it changed my life. It really changed my life. It really put things in perspective for me. So when I listened to the video, after I listened to the video, as I do with everything, and as anybody should do that watch anything on YouTube, take it to the Lord. And I can't say that enough. You got to test the Spirit by the Spirit, and the Lord will confirm what is of His. And I had the Lord confirm what Brother Elvi was telling me was the truth. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, Brother Elvi was talking about an earthquake out in California. He was talking about this earthquake that's going to happen and it's going to destroy California. Lord, is that true? If that is true, Lord, show it to me. Show it to me, Lord. I want to see it, Lord. confirm it with me. And the Lord, you ask the Lord for something like that. The Lord is faithful. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. So the Lord, that very night, this is what the Lord gave me. The Lord gave me a vision that very night. So the Lord takes me to Japan. He takes me to Japan, and I was, and he puts me in somebody's body in Japan. So I was driving in Japan on a motorcycle, and I don't even know how to drive a motorcycle in person. And I was driving a motorcycle, and I was going up a bridge. And my brothers, my sisters, I have never been a little bit fearful of this bridge. This bridge was the steepest bridge I've ever seen in my life. And I know what bridge it was. I was driving over this bridge, and this bridge was so steep that I swear I was going to fall off this bike, this motorcycle. I swear I was going to fall off of it. I was so scared. And I'll tell you about it when I came to. So, but anyway, I was driving on this bridge, and I started going up this very steep bridge. This had to be the steepest bridge in the world. And I started driving down the bridge. And just as I got down to the bottom of the bridge, the earthquake happened. So let me get a drink of water. So the earthquake happens. And this earthquake, it was massive. It was a massive earthquake, and I was in Japan, and I'm telling you, this earthquake was so massive that I started seeing the cars. They were kind of like bouncing up and down, like they had hydraulics on them. The cars were just—they were jumping, and they were jumping so hard, and they flipped over. They started flipping over. That's how hard the earthquake was in Japan. And I saw the devastation there. So then the Lord grabs me. He grabbed my spirit, and he takes me over to California. He takes me to California, and I'm standing on the coast of California. And I feel the earthquake happening in California. I feel I started to see, like, they have like a lot of parking decks over in California. I start seeing the parking decks start collapsing. They kind of smush down like pancakes. I started seeing the buildings swaying and rocking. Yeah, I'm gonna really kind of get into it. I want to pour everything out because this is the Lord. This is the timing of the Lord. And this is this is the season that we're heading into. I believe that this is going to happen very, very soon. This is going to happen very, very soon. Hallelujah. So, and I was in California. I don't know what part of California I was in, but I was in California. I started seeing the buildings start swaying with the ground vibrating. And then I seen methane gas blowing. It was like methane gas pockets blowing out of the ground. And they were, like, blowing as, like, I want to say fissures. Boof. And the gas was just blowing out of it was just holes opening up, and the gas was blowing out. And it was like you couldn't be around, a person couldn't be around one of those open holes, because there was sometimes I seen the holes opening up and people falling in, and it looked like they fell in and they went into hell. They fell directly into hell is what I kind of knew. That this was a judgment of God. So, and I seen the roads cracking. I seen all the roads cracking. The roads were just breaking in big pieces to where there was nobody was able to drive over any of the roads. And, oh my God, it really got bad. And it really got bad. There was a lot of death, a lot of hurt. A lot of people weren't prepared. I seen some of the buildings start falling because the earthquake was so strong. The earthquake was so strong. It was so powerful. that some of the buildings started falling. It was such devastation. It was such devastation that was it was unbelievable. The devastation that I started seeing, you know, people were, in essence, they were like downtown. Everybody was screaming. It was such a terror because it was suddenly. It was like a sudden destruction, like the Bible says, sudden destruction that came upon them. Hallelujah. And so after that, it seemed like it went on forever. It seemed like it went on forever. If you live in California, I definitely, if you have not heard from the Lord, I would fast and I would pray. I would, you know, kind of want to know if the Lord have you to stay there at this point, because it's like, the destruction that I seen, it shook me to the core. It shook me to the core. And, you know, then that was the first night. And after I seen all that destruction, that was the first night. The second night, and I'm not going to, it wasn't consecutive, but the second time I had a dream about this, the Lord he took me out of the minute I laid down. The Lord grabbed me and snatched me out of my spirit, and then he takes me to San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, and I was sitting on top of the Golden Gate. Well, I was actually standing on the Golden Gate Bridge, and I was watching the cars go by, and I was looking at the bridge because I've never ever seen the bridge in person. The Lord, he took me there in spirit, and I knew where I was at in the spirit. And he sets me on the bridge. And immediately, I knew this was like a continuation of the earthquake. This was like right after the earthquake came. And I seen people, they were driving as fast as they could to get from the one part to the next. Immediately, after the earthquake, I don't know time frame. I want to say it could have been 15 minutes. It could have been 20 minutes. It could have been a half an hour. I can't really distinguish the time and the spirit, but immediately I seen the tsunami coming. I seen such a big tsunami. I seen the tsunami coming from the, it was from the ocean. The tsunami wave was so big. And it was like it started off as a little tiny wave way out, because the Lord set me down, and I didn't know this, that the bridge kind of faces the water. I did not know that. That bridge faces the water. The one side faces the water. And so I was facing the water through the bridge, and I was looking off in the distance, looking off in the yonder, and I seen a little small wave. And as this wave came closer, it grew. And all of a sudden, you know, this wave came so fast, you know, that this wave was, it was so big. And I'm, brothers and sisters, I'm not preaching fear tonight. I want to share what God showed me. I'm not trying to make anybody fearful. I want everybody to know that this is going to happen soon, and I want you to pray. If you live in these areas, I want you to pray and ask God to lead you, ask God to guide you. Hallelujah. And ask God if this is what's his will for you. You got to be seeking the Lord daily and asking God, what is his will for you? What is his desires of you to do? Because the Lord will protect his children through this. He will protect his children through this. And Father told me that. He said, I will protect my children. But we have to know that the Lord is leading you to stay, or the Lord is leading you to go. You know, back to the tsunami wave, I seen the wave coming off in the distance, and as the wave got closer, the wave, it probably was like 4 or 5 minutes before the wave was up on me. And the wave was so big that the Spirit of the Lord grabbed me, you know, from up underneath my armpits, and he picked me up and he took me to the very top of the bridge, or the very, very top of the Golden Gate Bridge is where I was standing at. And I was kind of standing on one of the beams, and when the wave hit, the wave hit over top of the bridge, and it completely collapsed the bridge. And the wave hit the whole coast of San Francisco. It hit the whole coast of San Francisco, and it hit it really hard, and it completely devastated the whole coast of San Francisco, and it was like the almost the whole coast of the West Coast. It completely devastated it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, it was kind of like it was that movie was prophetic. That movie was with the Lord, the San Andreas movie. That was prophetic. That was with the Lord. It was kind of showing what's going to happen, you know, and that movie, The Rock was the savior. Hallelujah. Only savior is going to be there is Jesus Christ. But that movie, it showed some stuff, but it did not show everything. It did not show everything, and it did not show into detail everything that was going to happen. So when that wave comes from the west, when that wave comes from the water and it hits something and it hits the inland, it pulls back. And it's like it creates like a surf back after it comes up to a point where it breaks and it surfs back and it pulls everything back. And when it pulled the stuff back, it was pulling back buildings. It was pulling back people. It was pulling back cars. It was complete and utter destruction that happened. It was complete and utter destruction that happened when that wave hit. It was like nothing I've ever seen. And you know, after I seen that, there was so much destruction in San Francisco. There was so much destruction in California. There was such. The whole state was in a horrible condition because once the floodgate happened, once the floodgate happened, there was more and more earthquakes. The earthquake that I described that happened in San Francisco, the angel of the Lord told me it was like a 9.1 or a 9.2 is going to be in the Richter scale where it was at, a 9.1, 9.2. Some people are gonna say a 9.1. Some people are gonna say a 9.2. That was how powerful it was. And then the Lord told me after that, He said, "There's an even greater one on the way, more than that." He didn't tell me. He didn't give me any type of numbers for that one. But I imagine if that one was a 9.1 or a 9.2, an even greater one that possibly could be. A 10.5. Yeah, could you imagine an even greater one coming after that? Oh my God, that would just completely just devastate and destroy everything that's going on in California. There's no rebuilding after that. So after that happened, I seen the nuclear power plants. There was nobody there to man the nuclear power plants. They sustained a lot of damage. And this is, you know, this is what that's not going to show you in the movie. The water was contaminated. There was hardly no drinking water. A lot of the food had became contaminated. There was no electricity. The people that lived in California, oh my God, they had a hard time. They lived in a hard time from, you know, they were trying to, everybody that lived in California that was coming, they kind of like band together and they started walking across the United States. They had to leave all their possessions because they weren't led by the Spirit of the Lord. When God's been trying to warn His children for years to leave and to go, and they weren't led by the Spirit of the Lord, and they decided that they took it upon their own accord to stay, and then the ones that oh my God, oh Lord, 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 the ones that were alive after all this, because that after all this happened, there was a lot of death that happened after this. You know, during this whole process, there was a lot of death. There was a lot of mourning. There was a lot of dead bodies. There was a lot of dead bodies that was on the street. There was so much dead. And you knew that this was a judgment of God. You knew this was a judgment of God. You knew this was a great judgment that the Lord's been holding back. You knew it. And this made people repent and start back to fear God, because the fear of God was not in this nation before that, and after these judgments come, people are really going to get back to fearing God and crying out to the Lord. They were crying out to the Lord because they had no choice. And I seen the people banding together. They lost everything. They left, you know, all they had was the clothes on their back, and they were walking across the whole country. They were walking across on foot. I seen like a children, I see mothers and fathers carrying their children across on feet, and they were just walking with them. And oh my God, they didn't have cars. The cars didn't work. If they did, where they were able to get a car, they couldn't get it across the cracked roads. Yeah, some of the vaccinated. I don't know if they were vaccinated when I seen them, because this was years ago. The Lord showed me this one back in 2017, 2018, so I can't tell you if they were vaccinated or not. I seen them all banding together, and they all got together in big, large groups. It was millions of them coming from California, because California was completely just devastated. There was after these earthquakes and after these tsunamis hit, there was no more living normal in California. So they started all walking toward the East Coast and, you know, kind of dispersing amongst the rest of the country. And the Lord showed me, you know, after the, he showed me that there was another earthquake that was in the southern part of California. He took me to San Diego, and I was around, and I know it was San Diego, and I seen 8.9. was the number that he showed me, and he showed me like a news report, and it just came across as a flash, and it was like a Fox News or something like that, and it showed like an 8.9, and it showed it kind of hit right off the coast. So this one wasn't where the San Andreas Fault was. This was off the coast, right, because I want to say San Diego's like, I want to say it's right by like the water, is how I seen it in the spirit. I never been there. I never even been to California, but the Lord, when the Lord shows you, you can actually see. You know, he'll give you clear. He'll make your vision clear, the way you could see where it's gonna happen at. So I seen it was like off the. It was not too far off the coast. It could have been, you know, 10, 15 miles off the coast, where the 8.9 that hit, and then from that point on, there was a tsunami. Because it was an 8.9, it was a large earthquake. There was a tsunami that hit the southern portion of the coast of California. It was another tsunami there. And that completely devastated the southern portion of California as well. So from what I've seen, it was like the whole coast was destroyed from what I've seen. And then let me go into talking about the volcanoes. So I seen the Lord takes me, the angel of the Lord grabbed me, and this is another dream. The angel of the Lord grabbed me, and he takes me over to Mount St. Helens. And I seen what looks like a crater. It looked like a Mount St. Helens that got hit with an asteroid, and it left a big indentation in the ground. And the angel of the Lord, he grabs me, and I'm flying above that. And I ask him, and it was the Lord. I asked him, I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? What is this? And he says to me, this is Mount St. Helens. And I said, Lord, what happened here? And he says, the volcano erupted. And I said, how did it erupt, Lord? And he says that the methane gas built up in it, and it blew the top off of it. And before he told me that, I didn't even know that, you know, there was methane gas that was, you know, underneath the earth that was building up inside those volcanoes. And it completely blew the top, the whole top of the volcano, it blew off. And it blew in the sky, and it went each and every direction, and it was fire. It was raining fire rocks down from heaven. It was kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. The easiest way I could kind of explain to you, where fire and brimstone rained down from heaven, is what I kind of seen. And you know, and that was just one of them. That was just one of those volcanoes. The Lord showed me, and he showed me Mount St. Helens. He showed me Mount Rainier. He showed me Mount Adams, and there was another one that he didn't tell me. But all these mountains are intertwined. They're all joined together, and I seen that all those mountain ranges, they were all going off. You know, from Mount St. Helens to Mount Rainier to Mount Adams, I seen them, all of them, they're all going off. They were all erupting, and they were all kind of erupting at the same time. And I seen it also. Hallelujah. I seen them all going off. I want to say, I don't know where the rest of those are. I know they're like all in the same vicinity, Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier, Mount Adams. And there's another mountain over there. I don't know exactly which one, because the Lord didn't tell me what mountain that was. There's like a mountain range of those volcanoes, and they're all like intertwined. They're all connected. And they all, once one of them start blowing, the rest of them start blowing as well. It was like a trickle-down effect. And the Lord, how the Lord kind of gives it to me was, you know, these are signs, and I do believe that these volcanoes are going to go off before the earthquake. I do believe that. I believe it so. I'm not saying the Lord told me that, but that's what I believe in my spirit. As far as I was trying to get a time, it's hard to get a timing in the spirit of when things are going to go off. You know, you just have to take it in prayer and ask the Lord, because the Lord will show you. And, you know, it's just kind of like I seen Yellowstone. You know, Yellowstone was another volcano I seen erupting. But before Yellowstone erupts, I seen that Yellowstone was going to go, it was going to get so hot, because the Lord took me to Yellowstone too as well. And I seen that Yellowstone, the area around Yellowstone was flat. It was like, it's not like the volcano that's up there in like Mount St. Helens or any of the big mountains. It was like kind of flat ground. And I seen Yellowstone, there's like roads around Yellowstone that men have paved. And I seen those roads melting because it was getting so hot. And I seen the animals start to leave Yellowstone because the animals, the Lord has pulled, he's pulling all the animals away from Yellowstone because he wants to save the animals. And, you know, he's been allowing people to see that, and people, the scientists know. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The scientists know that this is eventually going to happen, and they're just not telling anybody. They're not warning anybody. They know that this earthquake is imminent. They're not warning anybody. They even made announcements on, like, the news channels that they're expecting this to happen, but they're not telling anybody to prepare. They don't care. The government knows, and they don't care. So with back to Yellowstone, what happened with Yellowstone is I seen Yellowstone blowing just from the ground, and it was shooting hot lava up, like kind of like the geysers that they have in Yellowstone, but that instead of them being water, they were lava, and those lava geysers were blowing, and they were going from they were blowing high in the sky. And I seen the people that were in Yellowstone, and the Lord had me run around. The Lord had me, he planted me right there in Yellowstone, and I got to experience what it was like in Yellowstone. So I was actually running with the people as the geysers start blowing, or the lava starts blowing out of Yellowstone, and it blew thousands of feet up in the sky, and it just started raining down fire and brimstone everywhere. And people started, they had to run for those lives, because as I seen what the Lord showed me, is when that hot molten lava is blowing in the air and it comes down, it's extremely, extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. You can get a little hot rock can land on the back of your head and it'll melt through. You know, I don't even want to get into how deadly it is. It'll kill you. That's it. It'll kill you. So I was running with the people that was around Yellowstone, and I remember getting hit in the back of my right shoulder with a rock that came, and it hit my arm, and I felt how hot it was, and I felt it in the spirit. And I felt that it really damaged my arm. It was like it kind of melted through my skin. It melted through my bones. That's how hot that stuff is. And I felt it. And I was like, oh Lord, oh Lord. And then the Lord stopped. You know, He stopped me from receiving all that pain. But He allowed me to feel it like I was actually there, so I could remember and try to, you know, bring it to your attention. And the Lord, I often do that with people that have visions or people that have dreams like that. He'll allow them to feel exactly what's going on, or exactly what that person is feeling at that time, you know, so that they can get a better understanding of what's going on. Oh, my God, my God, my God. And, the destruction that's coming ahead. I believe that this, all these things are coming so soon. Father said He's releasing His judgments. I seen our Father in heaven. I seen Him angry. Our Father is so, so, so angry right now. He's been sitting back watching. He's been sitting back holding his rage. He's been, oh, my God, my God. He's watching, and He just, it's like the more He watches, the more He gets angry. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that is the last thing you want. I would rather see an angry man over an angry God any day of the year. Angry God is, oh, my Lord. It's a fight. It's a sight to behold. When God gets angry and God starts moving like that, oh, so the Lord takes me. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, so the Lord takes me, and this is in another revelation of the Lord. He takes me to Georgia. And I was, I used to live in Georgia for years in Atlanta. I lived all throughout Atlanta. He took me up into, and I want to say I was probably in like the southern portion of Georgia, and I was living, I want to say it was like maybe Augusta, around that area. And the Lord takes me in there, and I seen some, you know, I walked out, and He showed me I was living in an apartment in Georgia, and I was living in somebody else's life. And I walked out of, I came out of that, it was like a condominium. And when I came out of that condo, I seen some, and this is a completely different vision. Oh my God, my God. This was a completely different vision. I came out of that condo, and the Lord showed me a group of youth. He showed me, it was probably about four or five of them. And, you know, I knew they were young. They were gathered together. They were smoking weed. And I wanted to go up to them and tell them, because I was filled with the Spirit. I was filled with God. I went up to them and I started ministering to them like it was no tomorrow. I started really ministering to them because I felt such a need to release that it was tied up in my bones. You got to minister, and I'm going to deviate a little bit. You got to minister. When the Lord tells you to go talk to somebody that, and you're being led by God, He wants you to go talk to them. It might be the last time. It might be the last time that that person receives a word from God, or the Holy Spirit wants to touch that person. But you have to do it. You have to be obedient. We got to learn how to be led by the Lord, win the Lord, and submit to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, Victory Rider. Oh, my God, my God. So I was ministering to the youth that was at, and they were gathered together, and they were smoking marijuana. And in the background, I heard a terror yell in the background, and it was such a horrible scream. Everybody screamed at one time. So I turned around, and I looked up, in the sky. And when I looked up in the sky, I seen a huge, it was like a planet. It wasn't an asteroid. This thing was like a red planet. And this thing was so big. It was so hot. It was burning. It was red, orange, purple. And it left a trail across the sky. And I seen it coming from the west to the east. And it was coming at such a speed. And it was so big that, you know, it kind of looked like it was bigger than the sun. If you were standing there looking at the sun, it was bigger than that to try to, you know, give you an idea if you could see size. And you really couldn't see the size of it, but it was so big, and it was coming from the left to the right. It was coming from, the right to the left. It was coming from the west to the east, and it was streaking across the sky, and it was streaking at such a speed. I knew that once this thing hit, I knew that it hit so hard that it caused such a devastation, and it left such a trail. It left such a trail. Oh, my God, my Lord, my God. It hit with such an impact, and the trail of the whatever that it was like the meteorites that was behind it, the tail remnants that was behind it, they were falling. And they were they were kind of falling on people's houses. They were it was causing all kind of destruction. And as this thing hit off into the water, it created such a shockwave. And this shockwave was the only way I could kind of describe it was it was completely like a bomb impact. You know, when as you watch the older videos of a atomic bomb going off, there's a shockwave that goes before the bomb and before the radiation. And that shockwave came, and that shockwave, you know, and this was much powerful than that because it was going so fast. It was the angel. It was the angel that flung this, and this was like the seal in Revelation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to go there right now. I'm being led to go there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in Revelation chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 12. Did somebody post that in the chat room? Verse 12, earthquake and light sign, and 13. Verse 12 through, we're going to read 12 through 17, and it says at verse 12 it says, I looked and I opened, when I looked he opened the sixth seal, and behold there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops his late figs. And it was shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky receded up as a scroll when it was rolled up. And I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, I have the Gideon version because it's all they had now. All they had by me, I got to get my old King James out. But I'm going to continue. And it says, and the kings of the earth and great men and rich men, commanders and mighty, Okay, so it says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, rich men, and commanders, and mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the cave of the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. And this thing was so mighty. I don't think that was the one I was looking for. I can't see it in this Bible. So, but anyway, this rock was so mighty, and the shockwave that this thing produced was so mighty. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the shockwave was, it picked people up, and it moved them hundreds and hundreds of feet. They flew probably 4 or 5 football fields backwards and landed and, you know, broke bones. They were devastated by the shockwave. And then the Lord picks me up after this thing hits the ground, and he takes me to the very top of Stone Mountain. I was on the highest mountain in Georgia. I was standing at the very tip of the mountain, and it came to a point. So I was stepping on there with like 1 foot, and off in the distance, I seen the water come. It was the tsunami, the eastern tsunami, and the tsunami that I seen, it came so high, it came up to the top of the mountain in Georgia. And I was in Stone Mountain, so I knew where I was at when the angel of the Lord showed me this. And Georgia is not close to the East Coast. I want you to understand that. I mean, it's hours away from the East Coast, that side over there. It's hours away from there. That's how high the wave was. The wave was so large that it came all the way up. I want to say it even damaged Atlanta. That's how far that came in. That wave came in, and it came in with such an intensity that it devastated the East Coast. It devastated, and then I knew it was a large wave. Oh my God! It destroyed the whole East Coast of America. It destroyed it. And I seen people people were just going about living their lives. They wanted to have fun. They wanted to party. And they weren't repenting. They weren't looking for God. And they received the judgment. And those people were having a bad day that transpired into the bad eternity. And it was just because, hey, I'm just going to turn away from God, or that man of God or sister of God that comes around and start preaching the word to me, I'm just going to deny them and turn them off. Hey, I don't want to hear what you got to say. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go back to me partying in the club or whatever the case might be, living in my sin. I love my sin. And that was scripture being fulfilled when I seen it. The wages of sin are death. And for those people, there was no going back. There was no going back. God had judged them. God had judged them, and they got a one-way ticket. They got a one-way ticket, man. It was bad. It was really bad. And I seen all this happening before the rapture. I seen all this happening before the rapture, just to try to give you a time period. And going into the rapture, and I'm going to get into the tribulation. The tribulation, at the moment that I spoke about earlier, when the Lord blows the trumpet and the tribulation is there, from the minute that he blows the trumpet and the saints leave, the tribulation starts. And if you weren't ready to receive God, or you weren't ready to go with the Lord, you got left behind. And that, like I said before, that happened so fast. If somebody put 1 Corinthians chapter 15:52 up in the chat room, that's what we're going to go to. That's where I'm being led to go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:52. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to look it up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because I want you to get an idea. So we're going to go back to 51. I want you to get an idea tonight, brothers and sisters, that this is where, so 51, 52, and 53. No, I'm sorry. Take that back to 50. 50, 51, 52, and 53. This is where the time, this is why the time is so important that you repent. You know, Brother Elvie and other preachers, they're not telling you to repent and repent. You know, they're not telling you to repent for their safety. It's for your own safety. They're not telling you to repent for their glory. It's for your, it's for you to get stuff right with God. You know, this is a self-action. This is something that we cannot repent for you. We cannot pray for you. We can pray for it. We can pray with you, but we can't have a personal relationship with Jesus for you. This is something that you have to do for yourself. You have to cry out. Every man got to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Every man has to go to the Lord and ask God to forgive them. Hallelujah. Yada son da 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 bakande. Oh, that's, okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, it says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." And this is what I was speaking on earlier. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither do incorruption inherit, neither do corruption inherit incorruption. And verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." In 52, and it says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye," that right there, a twinkling of an eye is a blinking of your eye. A blinking of your eye. That's it, and that's the moment. In the blinking of your eye. You, if you blink your eye right now, how many prayers can you get off before you blink your eye? Or while your eye is blinking? I don't think you can get many off. Hallelujah. You can't say, by the time you say, "Lord, your eye is done." I think you can blink your eye in like a quarter of a second. That's how fast the rapture is going to happen. That's how fast it's going to happen. And you can't possibly ask God to forgive you when it's going on. You can't do it. So I'm here to tell you tonight, you have to do it beforehand. This is, brothers and sisters, and I can't stress it to you enough, that it's essential. It's essential, just like you waking up and you feeding your body, or you waking up and you drinking something to drink, and you waking up and you breathing air. It's essential to wake up and ask God to forgive you, or go to sleep and ask God to forgive you. It's essential to keep praying. It's essential to keep that relationship with the Lord, keep in fellowship with the Lord. It's essential to keep prayed up. Essential. Because we're living in the days and hours right now where we are going home. We are going home soon. But that twinkling of an eye, and I don't want anybody to miss the rapture. I really don't want anybody to miss the rapture. That's why I'm preaching from my heart tonight. I'm preaching from my heart because I've seen the great tribulation to such detail And I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. I've seen it to such detail. It's like, Lord, I don't even want to go in there. I don't even want to go see any more of the Great Tribulation. I'm like, every time the Lord takes me to the Great Tribulation, I'm like, Lord, here we go again. Oh, I know what's going to happen now. It's going to be time to run. And, you know, back to the Bible, it says in 52, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption. So we have to be changed. We cannot go into heaven. And this is what I've seen when we went up in the rapture. We cannot go into heaven in these physical, fleshly bodies. We have to be changed to incorruptible. We have to receive our spirit body. We have to receive what the Lord has deemed for us to get into heaven. You can't go in there with the body that you have that's made from the clay, that's made from the dust of this earth. You can't. It's impossible. So we have to be changed through Jesus Christ. So when we go meet the Lord in the air, he gives us our body, or he does it beforehand. However the Lord is going to do it, he does it. And then we go up into heaven from that point on. And then that point starts the Great Tribulation for the people that's down here on the earth. And, you know, and I'm going to kind of get into some graphic details. So if you have children, you don't want them hearing this, because the Lord has, he's placed it on my heart tonight to release it all. So I'm going to empty out my cup tonight of the stuff that I seen in the Great Tribulation without holding back. So from the very first moment of the Great Tribulation, the Lord gave me a vision of it, and I was sitting inside of a diner. And I was sitting inside of a diner as somebody else, and I was eating. I was ordering food with my wife. And this wasn't actually my wife. I was sitting in somebody else's body, and I was watching what was going on. And the person who I was sitting with was inside. They were eating with their wife and child. And then I heard the trumpet go off. I heard the trumpet go off in the spirit. So once the trumpet went off in the spirit, the people, and I want to say it was 75% of the people that was in the diner, they started changing before my eyes. They changed. They morphed. And it was immediately. It was immediately. It must have took them probably, I couldn't discern, it took them less than a minute. It took them less than a minute to change, and they changed, and they morphed into these beasts, these werewolves. Oh, my Lord. And after they morphed into these werewolves, their transformation was complete. The first thing they did was they locked eyes on the people that was eating in the diner that was not like them. And they forgot completely about what they were doing, and their first act was to jump on them and start biting them. They jumped on them. They start biting. They went for the soft parts first. They went for the ears. They went for the throats. They went for the arms. They went for any of the fleshy parts, the muscles, the neck area. They loved the neck area. They went straight for that. And I seen them, like, attacking in hordes. They it was like three or four of them attack one person, and the others start attacking. And then what really caught my attention, that was really scary to see, especially the first time I seen it, I said, oh, my God, my Lord. What really caught my attention was I seen the children change. I seen some of the kids change. And I couldn't figure out. I'm like, Lord, I seen the little kids start growing fangs and growing. They look like little demon children. They look like they were little possessed demon children after this happened. And they did the same thing as the rest of them. So I ran out of the diner. I ran out of the diner from that point on. And from that moment on, I knew that it happened, everything happened, and I was in a great tribulation. So when I came outside, it was total chaos. This was happening all over as far as my eyes could see, and I knew this was like all over the United States, everywhere. And it was worse in the cities. The cities with a lot of the population, there was a lot worse. And these are the vaccinated people. So I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm sorry to tell you this. This is why the Lord is calling his children to leave away from the vaccinated people. And I want you to pray about this, and you pray about everything I'm telling you tonight. Pray about it, but this is what I seen. And I seen that these were the vaccinated. This was a booster is what I got. This was a booster shot that caused, you know, that gave them the final sequence, the morph or change. And I don't know exactly which one it was or which vaccine it was, but they're all filled with the enemy's DNA. So from that moment on, I was outside and I could see in the city, and everybody was running. There was a darkness over the land. It was not like the light was not like it is now. When you go out during the noonday, you see the sun standing out bright. It wasn't like that anymore. It was dark. It was a darkness. It was like a thick, tangible darkness that you could feel. It was a thick evil that you could feel that was over the whole land. And from that point on, the cities, everybody was running for their lives. That started to run. Everybody started running they were migrating to the mountains. They were migrating out of the cities because the cities had the most of these beasts in them. And these beasts, they hunted. And let me tell you something that I noticed after, you know, being in a great tribulation over and over and over again, that these beasts they're working on the same wavelength. And what I mean by that was the Lord had led me to a house that was boarded up, and there was some people in the house. And, you know, every time that I've been in a great tribulation, I noticed that the thing for me was not to get in the house, to stay on the move. So if you're listening to my voice and you're in a great tribulation, stay on the move. You get stuck in one house, that's going to be it for you, because these beasts, they surround the house in numbers, and they waited to get their orders to attack. They surround the house. It was like they were like a mile away from the house, but they completely surrounded it, and they were all in one accord, and they waited for a higher power to give them orders to attack the people in their house. And once they attacked the house, they attacked the house with thousands of them. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. I seen some of the men. The Lord showed me a man that was he's a bodybuilder here. And he had great big giant muscles, and he must have been like 6'6", 50, 60 pounds, solid, you know, solid meat. He'd go to the gym every day and work out. And you would think that this man, and with your natural mind, you would say, okay, yeah, this man is going to, he's going to be able to do something. He's going to be able to at least put up a fight. Maybe he might be able to, because when you watch, you know, I used to watch like the old school Night of the Living Dead movie when I was younger. And you think, okay, yeah, these little zombies are just, you know, they're walking so slow. And no, that's not going to be how these beasts are. That's why I refuse to label them as zombies, because people have a stigma in their head of what a zombie is and what a zombie does because of these false movies that the devil put out. That's not how they're going to be. These things are going to run, and they can outrun you. They're fast. They're stronger. They're stronger because they're powered by evil. They have these demons in them. They're powered. They're evil powered. And they can jump high. You know, and I watched this big muscular man that I knew was in the gym. He could probably bench press 400 or 500 pounds and squat a couple thousand pounds. And I was thinking to myself when I first seen him, I'm like, okay, well, maybe he might be able to put up a fight. And I watched one of these beasts toss him around like a rag doll. And he couldn't do anything with them. And, you know, they just continued to bite him and all kind of stuff. They started attacking the house, and the Lord allowed me to, he allowed me to just leave out the area and go to another area. So the Spirit of the Lord, you know, at that time, he was leading me around to different areas. So, you know, he takes me to another area, and I get to see, like, up towards the north in the Great Tribulation, and I seen how the weather was not like it is now. The weather was so erratic, and it was so erratic, and it was so spontaneous that I seen how it was like the weather where I was. The area that I was standing in, it was like 70, or I want to say maybe 60 degrees, humid. And then a couple of miles down the road, there was a blizzard. And this blizzard was moving at a high rate of speed. And it was that fast. So it was like, okay, the shifts of the climate was that fast. And I've seen in the spirit that there was actually demons. There were actually big giant principalities or big giant fallen angels, I want to say, that was controlling the weather patterns. And I seen a big giant frost demon, and this demon was probably over 200-300 feet tall. And he was walking in every area, and every area that he walked in, he blew frost. He blew cold. And he started blowing cold all around the area, and he started freezing everything. And he was just committing, he was just killing people. Is what I seen. And, you know, oh my God. And I watched him in the spirit, and he was just killing people. And he was just, after he killed everybody in that area, he moved to the next area and did the same thing. And all these things were being unleashed on the earth at this time. And the Lord shows me, I seen the dinosaurs coming back. I seen the raptors and the T-Rexes, like Jurassic Park. They reanimated those, they reanimated the Jurassic Park, and they're going to release them in the Great Tribulation. I seen them release them. I seen them hooked up to the technology, and they were sending them on like kill missions, just like in Jurassic Park. And they were releasing them on people. Those the dinosaurs, they weren't eating, you know, they weren't eating the dead or the reanimated people or the beast. They weren't eating any of them. They were eating the normal people that was left. Oh, my God. Yeah, there was so much wicked stuff that was going on. there was so much wicked stuff that was going on. And I seen those raptors, and they were like, they were bigger than me. You know, I want to say they were like 6 foot five, and these things ran on the two legs, just like in Jurassic Park. That's the best way I could describe it. They had computers hooked up to them, and they were going out and, you know, they were going out in herds, just attacking people and killing people. And then I seen these, a lot of these demons coming out, and they were coming out from the bottomless pit, and they were dragging people down in the pit. And every moment in the Great Tribulation, I could hear yelling, I could hear horror, I could hear people screaming. Oh my God, my Lord! And I think about it right now, it does something to my soul when I hear the gut-wrenching screams. It was just screams all the time, people dying, people getting hurt. And it was just all the time, or people getting dragged down. They were dragging people down into hell. They were coming up, grabbing people and taking them down into hell. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. And from that point on, the Lord takes me around, and I get to see. He took me around to the city. So I was seeing in the city, and I was seeing like how the people were living in the city. You know, the people that had taken the marker. Now, I was watching how the people that were still left, that were still up under the beast system, and how things had completely changed. And I seen the beast. He was Obama. I seen him. He was so evil. Oh, and I knew by this time that whatever the Antichrist spirit that was in the world, it was completely in him, and it was completely in control. It was so evil and so wicked. It was so vile. I really can't even explain looking at something that evil. He was so evil. Just looking at his image was everywhere. His image was everywhere. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. And I seen that he was in control of a lot of these giant principalities, or these giant, I don't know why I keep calling them principalities, fallen angels. These giant fallen angels that was coming out slaying men. And I seen like the Jeepers Creepers demons. Those, I seen no, they're coming out grabbing, they were had wings. They were grabbing people and taking them and eating them and taking them down into, they were taking them down into hell and eating them. Oh, it was horrific. It was horrific. And then I seen the Antichrist send out his robots, the killer robots. It was like the Terminator. He was sending out Terminators that they were scanning for, you know, the by that time the people ran to and hit like they hit in like the forests, they hit in the mountains, and they sent out these robots that had like night scanners and infrared scanners on them, and these things could scan the whole area, and they could track you by, like, they would put like satellites over top of the areas, and they could see if there was anybody or life form in that area, if the Lord wasn't protecting them. And they would scan over the whole area, and they would start to fire and try to kill them over the whole area. And then I seen the Lord takes me to other parts of the United States where the nuclear power plants were at. And, you know, this was all going on at the same time. There was no, and I'm gonna repeat this to you, there was no safe part that, you know, you could go without the Lord leading, without the Lord protecting. Without the Lord protecting, there was no safe part. So it was like, you know, if, let's say if you were in New York and you decided, okay, hey, I want to try to go to Cincinnati. I'm going to try to make my way to Cincinnati because I heard Cincinnati was safe. No, that's not the case. There was designated safe zones, but it was only that the Lord had set them up. Only the Lord knew about them. and the enemy was hunting. He was hunting these children. He was hunting God's children that had not taken the mark around. They were hunting them just so they could get them. They could cut their heads off. They could torture them. You know, it was just, it was horrific. It was horrific. And I seen like all the nuclear power plants. There was nobody manning any of the nuclear power plants. And the nuclear power plants were, yeah, the super soldiers, they were out in the millions on the streets. You couldn't really kill them because they regenerated. You know, they were super soldiers. They had DNA of the enemy in them. And all those soldiers were genetically modified. So what they did was, and I knew it in the spirit, that they kind of like took the best traits and the best genes out of the animals, and they kind of combined them into people. So they would take like, okay, let's say the lion has agility, and let's say the lizard has the ability to regrow organs or regrow tails or anything like that. And they did that, and they took them, and they shot all that into people, and they modified people that way. So they became like hybrids of beasts with those soldiers, and they could regrow limbs. They could do all kind of stuff. And that time I seen that there was people that was trying to, they wanted to die because life was so hard, but they couldn't die. There was no dying. Death eluded them. They didn't want to keep running for the rest of their lives, or they didn't want to keep running from these beasts or running from these fallen angels. They didn't want to keep living that life, so they tried to kill themselves, and they couldn't do it. Oh, my Lord, my God. And I seen these the nuclear power plants start exploding. They started going into a meltdown. Yeah, they started going into a meltdown, and because there was nobody manning them from that point. There was nobody working. There was that day, the day of work was over. Is what the Lord showed me. The things that people are holding on to now, like their cars, their houses, their jobs, the things that they're trying to save now will be the things that keep them in the great tribulation. And then once they get in the great tribulation, those things are going to matter to them. Hey, you hear what I said? It's not going to matter to them, because they can't run with their house in the great tribulation when they got thousands of demons chasing them. It's not going to matter. They can't run with their car when there's no gas to fill that car up, and you got demons jumping on your car trying to eat you. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna show you that this is in the Bible as well. And we're going to be looking at Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Okay, so Revelation 18, verse 2. And we can start with verse 1, and it says in verse 1, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory." And in verse 2 he says, "And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen." Babylon the Great. Where Babylon the Great is fallen. And he said, it is fallen. And it says, and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. And there we go, right there, habitation of devils. What do you think that means? Habitation of devils. They're all devils. All these are devils going to be running around. And the hold of every foul spirit. And this is what I was just describing to you. And it says, and a cage of everything unclean, and a hateful bird. Had a drink. So Right there, that's just telling you right there. It's in everything is in God's word. The habitation of devils is, from what I've seen, it was all the beast and everything that came around, everything that was unclean, every foul spirit. And let me tell you this also, I seen that the animals, these beasts were eating, they were destroying, I'm not going to say they were eating, they were just killing. They were killing, they're smart. Because they're filled with the enemy. So they would kill all the food sources of the humans just to kind of make them hungry. And they knew what they were doing. They were, you know, if you had cows around, they would kill the cows. And I seen, and this kind of puzzled me until, you know, when the Lord showed this to me, I didn't understand it quite. Excuse me. I seen the birds of the air. I seen like the birds, and I seen all the animals. I seen them have their eyes completely changed, and their countenance changed. They weren't normal. They were evil now. Every single bird that I seen, every single rat that I seen, they hungered for flesh as well. They hungered for flesh. So they changed. I seen the ducks. I seen ducks and I seen like pigeons and all kind of other birds. They were trying to attack me to eat me. And you know, ducks don't normal. A normal duck doesn't do anything like that. And the rats, there was rats everywhere. Oh my God, these rats were huge, and the rats were trying to eat you. They had red eyes. All the animals I seen had red eyes. They were possessed. They were possessed is the best word I could describe it. And I didn't understand how, when the Lord showed it to me, he showed this to me back in like 2018, and I didn't understand how that could possibly happen. And now it's become clear. I'm like, okay, Lord, so now I understand that once they start shooting this vaccine and everything, that's going to allow all these unclean spirits to possess the animals as well. And they're already started doing that. They're already started shooting that vaccine and tigers. They already started shooting the vaccine and like the zoo animals. He's going to cause all. And it's back to the word Revelation 13:16. He's going to cause all, both small and poor, rich and great, to receive a mark. And once he does that, and he's doing it now. He's setting it up his system now. But once he finishes and accomplishes that, then they're going to start moving on to the animals. They're going to start moving on to the pets. Everything is going to receive. He's going to be drunk off of his power. He's got to get everything, get his DNA and everything. Because anything that represents God, he's against. Anything that God made, he's against. So he's going to move on with his mission to totally eradicate everything of God, everything of the Lord's. And this is what I seen. This is what I seen when the Lord showed me his heart, the beast's heart. His mission is to eradicate everything that God did and try to undo everything that God did, so he can put his DNA in everything. And this was the transition to him putting his DNA in everything and him being able to control everything. That's why there's no reasoning with the unvaccinated anymore. There's no reasoning with them. You can't talk to them and have a civil conversation. You're just, like a sister told me, you're casting your pearls before swine. You ask them, okay, you try to even make logic. You know, and it hurts me even saying that, because I have family like that. And I was talking to my family members, and I said, you got your first shot back in March, and you got your second shot back in April. Why would you want to get a third shot right now? Why? Yeah, you were supposedly, your first two shots, you were supposedly 95% affected or protected. And now they're talking about booster shots, and they're talking about pushing out mandating a fourth booster shot. They're talking about four shots already and mandating a third shot. And then everybody's just going along with it like, yeah, it's okay, it's okay. So, brothers and sisters, they're lost. They're lost. And from what the Lord showed me, and I don't know, you know, this is how long this is going to last. From what the Lord showed me, that everybody that I've seen, and I don't know if this is applied to everybody, but everybody that I've seen, once they take that shot, there's almost no coming back from it. I didn't see any coming back from it. And I could be wrong, but that was only what I seen. There was no coming back from it. I seen it as a slow process. I seen it as once they, you know, get their first shot, and I seen the Lord showed me their spirit man and their spirit woman, as that stuff starts to work its way through. And this is what I seen as far as in the spirit. That stuff starts to work its way through their spirit and their body. And what happens from that point on is their spirit man starts to widow and die away. So I was looking at somebody in the spirit that just got vaccinated. And the very next night that I seen them in the spirit, you know, that person was, in their early 30s or late 30s. And they looked like they were 80 years old in the spirit. It was like that stuff, whatever they shot in them, it was killing them. It was killing their spirit man and spirit woman. And then I started seeing, I looked at their eyes, and the Lord showed me somebody else, that one of my other family members that took it. And I watched their eyes, I watched his eyes completely turn black. And as his eyes were turning black, it was like a little small piece of white in his left eye. And it was very small, but he was no longer the person I had knew. Yeah, amen. Yeah, they start to physically look old, too. They start to physically look old. And I notice also that once they receive that, whatever that stuff is in their veins, they start to kind of extrude that stuff out of them. Like they produce a smell. Like the first couple of nights, I noticed that they produced a smell that was like anything I never smelled the smell before in my life, and it was coming out of their pores. They start kind of releasing stuff out of their pores. And I believe this is what's getting people sick, the unvaccinated sick, because they start leaking stuff from around them. You know, whatever it is that, you know, it's like that, whatever they pump into them starts coming out, and it starts affecting everybody else that's around them. And that's why we're starting to see like all kind of problems with people, you know, that's around them. So, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. You know, back to the Great Tribulation. The Lord shows me in the Great Tribulation. Oh, my God. The Lord shows me in the Great Tribulation that he takes me to the oceans. So he takes me around, and I'm walking around in the ocean, and I get to see what's going on in the ocean. And the water, when we're talking like, I guess it was like the Pacific Ocean, and I'm walking around with the Lord Jesus in the ocean, and I don't see anything. There's nothing. Everything is dead. Everything is dead. And I couldn't understand why, Lord, why is everything gone? Why is everything gone? He said, wormwood, contamination. Everything was gone with the contamination. I couldn't see, I could not even see, hallelujah. I could not even see anything that was going on with, I couldn't even see like a little fish moving, or I couldn't see Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just lost my internet on my, hallelujah, on my computer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me log back in. So I could not see anything that was going on actually inside of the, hold on 1 second. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I can see now. Okay, I could not see anything that was going on. There was nothing in the ocean. There was not even one little fish. There was not even a crab on the ground floor. And I started walking around with the Lord. And I was walking around with the Lord for what seemed like it was days in the spirit. It was like it seemed like it was just days. There was nothing there. And I'm like, Lord, wow, what happened to everything here? There's not even a shellfish moving. There's not a little tiny fish. The coral's not even there. He said that the contamination started and it killed everything off in the ocean. And then he also said that it's even starting where you're at now. The fishes are, the little small fish and the little, all of his creation is starting to die in the ocean. And he said that's why the sharks are biting people now, because they don't have any food. That's why, that's exactly, and I said, oh, okay, Lord, so now I understand now. Now I understand. This is why we see, like, off the coast of the West Coast or off the East Coast or down by Florida, the sharks are biting people because they don't have any food there. They don't have any food in the water, so their food is scarce. So that's why they're starting to attack people now and swim around people. It's not because of that's normally what they would do. It's because their food is scarce. So, and after he takes me there, he takes me around, oh, my Lord, my Lord. And I get to see, like, all the fresh water. He takes me to, like, the Great Lakes and, you know, the Ohio River and the places where there's, like, nuclear contamination, because they got all these nuclear power plants off of your fresh water. And the nuclear power plants contaminated the fresh water. So I got to see the people that were actually left behind. They were trying to drink because they were so thirsty. So they were trying to drink this contaminated water. And this water caused, like, big black blotches on their skin. And it kind of, like, they were getting radiation. And it was like they were getting radiation poisoning. So the water was not good to drink. It was not good to it was not good to drink. It was not good to eat anything that was, like, contaminated. It was contamination everywhere. It was contamination in everything. Hallelujah. It was contamination, man, everywhere and everything. And when all this happened, you know, there were the people that were on the run for their lives, they could not find anything to eat. They could not find anything to drink. So the Lord is telling you right now to store up some food. It might not be for you. It might be for somebody at that time period. So as I was going around in the tribulation, the Lord shows me, I seen one guy in particular. And this guy that I seen in particular, he was actually, he was such a blessing to me, because I seen him. And my heart kind of leaped for joy, because I didn't see too many people with the presence of the Lord. I seen this guy, and this guy had he was sent by the Lord. And I seen that there was people that the Lord were having stay behind in the great tribulation and lead the rest of his children. And God was still in control. And I want to explain that, and I want to let you know that for 150%, the Lord was still in control at that time. As well, the Lord will still send his angels to protect people as well, because if he did not, there would be no flesh saved. So I seen this guy, I'm going to say this man of God, Lord forgive me for referring to him as a guy, and he's a man of God. And he was going around in the great tribulation, and he memorized the book of Psalms. the whole book of Psalms, and he would walk around singing the Psalms out loud. And the Psalms, the word of God was his strength. And I seen this this man of God, he had a shield of protection and a hedge of fire around him. A hedge of protection and a wall of fire, I should say, around him. It was completely around him. And these demons were, and the beasts were, they were trying to break through it. They couldn't even get through it. God was protecting him, and he was just walking and accomplishing whatever God wanted him to do. And he knew when to go, when to leave. You know, he was just being completely led by God. And I seen him, I said, oh, my Lord, I started praising God. So I also seen, the Lord shows me, the churches at that time. And I kind of want to get into this a little bit. The Lord took me into a church at that particular time. And this church that he showed me was in it. And there was like the people that were in it that came into the doors, they were actually like in a trance. Yeah, they were actually in a trance. And this pastor that I seen, I looked at him, you know, he looked like a normal man, but he wasn't. He was a demon. And I seen it was like kind of like the Pied Piper, to kind of give you an analogy. Whatever was coming out of his mouth was putting people in a trance because it wasn't the word of God. And I immediately noticed that, and I immediately got mad because I seen the people there, the people in the pews, they were like going back and forth in some type of trance. And I looked up at the pastor and I rebuked him. And I rebuked you, and I told him, I see you, devil. I see you in there. Come on now. And I seen the devil, and he came out, and he showed himself. You know, and I said, come on out, devil, in the name of Jesus. I see you. You cannot fool me. And I was able to clearly discern that he was a demon in there on a pulpit, and he was just smiling at me like he was so happy that he had these people in a trance, that they were completely mesmerized by whatever was coming out of his mouth. It was like the words of evil that was coming out of his mouth. And I rebuked him, and I cast him out of that church. And he changed, and the people were like, I've been listening to him for all these years. And they were just in such shock. And he looked at me and he smiled and he hurried up and got out of there, and I rebuked him. And then people started, you know, they wanted me to stay with them and asking me, how did I see it? And I said, oh, the Lord showed that to me. You listened to this man, this demon, for all these years, and you never really opened a Bible, you never really seek after the Lord. No, brother, we listened to him, and that's why we ended up here. We kind of knew something was wrong, but we kind of disregarded it, and we missed the rapture. You know, I put my head down, and I'm like, oh, my Lord. My God. It brought a lot of sorrow to me because I was thinking about like some of the preachers that's, you know, on TV right now that's not spewing out the word of God. They're spewing out poison. They're spewing out poison. Yeah, he's one of them. He's definitely one of them. So, you know, the Lord showed me that. The Lord showed me, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. The Lord showed me that there was people, the elite, they went and locked themselves into the underground cities. They went and locked themselves in their underground cities. And in these underground cities, they thought that they had everything They had everything that they had saved up from this time. They thought that they were going to totally escape it. Oh, but they were so wrong. They were so wrong. It was, and they went back to, like, that Revelation verse. That right here. Verse 15, chapter 16, verse 15. And it says, and the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth is always referred to. That's going to be the elite of the earth. The great men. The men that get all the money. The rich men. Commanders, mighty men. And every slave and free man, they hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So they were hiding inside. They built these great elaborate cities underground. And the Lord shows me, he takes me down to where they have these cities. And, you know, these cities, they look better than the cities that we have up above ground. They've been working on this for years. Day and night, they've been working on these cities. They're planning on, once the Great Tribulation starts, they're going to lock themselves in their cities and live like kings. And then they're planning on coming out on the other side of the Great Tribulation. They're so deceived. The enemy has them so deceived. There's no going and living in underneath that ground, and they have no idea what evil that they're putting on this world, what evil they done released into this world. And so they're gonna take their families and they're gonna go, you know, kinda like The Day After Tomorrow or some of those movies that they put out. They're gonna get saved, and that's gonna be like their ark. That's going to be like their ark, and they're going to be, you know, kind of living in there, and they're going to try to live out the Great Tribulation, and that's, it's not going to happen. I seen that after these beasts, they, you know, kind of clear out the area. After these beasts clear out the area, they start attacking the entrances because they could smell them. And let me tell you something. These beasts, these demons, they could smell people. They could smell everybody that's not like them. They could smell you because a lot of these people, they stink. They haven't taken showers in days or months or years. You know, so they have an odor. There's no washing up. There's no, you don't have the normal amenities of life like you have now. You don't have the normal amenities of life. So the people that was left behind, you know, whether they were Christians or whether they were conservatives or whatever the case might be, the ones that were not changed, they, after being on a run, they smelled. They looked skinny. Everybody was in shape because they were all running for their lives. And that's from every waking moment that they had, the first thing was to run. Because there were so many, and just like our brother Elvie spoke about the last time, all the people are vaccinated now. There were so many of these beasts running around trying to eat them. It was more of them than the people. They weren't able to fight against them. You know, they weren't able to fight against them. And I did see, you know, and I thank God for him showing our brother Elvie this. I asked God about this, and he took me, and I seen that you were able to kill them. And I want you to hear me. If anybody's listening that's going to be stuck behind, I pray that you don't be stuck behind as a church. But anybody that hears this in the future, you are able to kill these beasts by a stake. A stake, and the stake represents the cross of Calvary. You were able to stake them right in their heart and kill them. And I seen that because I remember Brother Elvie saying something about that. I remember Brother Elvie saying something about that. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I've never seen that. I'm going to ask God about that to show it, because when he did, he definitely confirmed it. I was like, oh, wow, I never even would have imagined. But, yeah, you were able to kill him with a stake. You're able to kill him with a stake. Amen. I pray that everybody listening, that you, number one, you don't take the vaccine. Number two, you get stuff right with the Lord. Number three, you keep stuff right with the Lord. Number four, you ask the Lord to remove everything out of your life, and you don't wait another day. Everything out of your life that you're putting before him, whether that's yourself, a person, place, or thing, every idol that's in your life, you cast it out. Everything that's before the Lord, you cast it out. You spend time with the Lord. You start growing in your relationship with the Lord. Because believe you me, I see the great tribulation. I see it coming. I see it. It's around the corner. And, you know, I didn't want to come on tonight to preach fear into you, but I wanted to come on to be clear. This is what's ahead, and this is soon to come. This is so soon to come that it's around the corner. We are in the last days. We're in the last hours of its coming. We are in the last hours of the great tribulation that's going to be here. And brothers and sisters, I'm here tonight to tell you that now is the time to start pressing in on the Lord. Now is the time to start focusing your eyes on the Lord. Now is the time to start trying to focus in your eyesight on the Lord and keeping your eyesight on him. So, because the storms are coming. The storms are coming, and when the storms get here, hallelujah, when the storms get here, you're not going to have the time to do that. So the time, this little bit of brief time that the Lord has given us, is the time that we're gonna need. Oh my Lord, my Lord. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Brother said to me, my wife had a vision 2 days ago of her brother changing before the whole family. He had been vaccinated. She ran out quickly. Oh, my God. Wow. And yeah, that's exactly what I see. That's exactly what I see. Family members. She ran out quickly as he was changing into a beast. Yes, 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 that's it. That's a confirmation. And then, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry to hear that, because I know that a multitude of people have ran out and tried to save themselves. Like the word says, he that seeks to save his life shall lose his life. And he that seeks to lose his life shall save his life, like Jesus. Save his life in Jesus. You can't seek to save your life. If you seek to save your life, you know, you can be willing to do whatever it takes to save your life, whether that saves you, lose your soul, to save your life. What would that profit? Oh, it says, God let her know that all vaccinated will change clear. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh, Lord. I was afraid of hearing that. I was afraid of hearing that. I'm going to read that again. God let her know that all vaccinated will change clear. And that's what I see. That's exactly what I see. And I was praying that, you know, that the Lord would trying to intervene in that, but I didn't see that. So I can't say I seen it. He intervened in that. I seen all the vaccinated people changing. Yeah, brother. I seen that too. I seen that there was in the waters. I want to say it was like the fresh waters. It was large demon fish, and they were eating people. They had a hunger for flesh. Yeah, they were huge. They were like demonic fish with red eyes, and they were eating people. You know, they were looking for flesh. And it was like this, the spirit of the Antichrist was all throughout everything at this time period. Yeah, it was a time period that I don't want no part of. And every time the Lord takes me to see something there, I'm like, Lord, oh Lord, here we go again. It's time to start running. Or I say, Lord, I don't want to go here, Lord. I don't want to wake up and see this anymore. Well, Lord, are you trying to show me something? I hope you're trying to show me something, because I hope I didn't miss it. I'm like, Lord, I hope I didn't miss it, because I don't want to. I told everybody, I'm like, I'll do whatever it takes to, whatever the Lord wants me to do to not stay. And the Lord told me I had to pray 20 hours in a row and not stay. I would do it obediently. Because I'm like, this time period is horrible. It's horrible. And we are so close to seeing this happen. It's right around the corner. I don't believe, you know, there's been people that kind of spoken that, you know, that this is going to, we're going to be on this earth for, you know, years after this. And I'm like, honestly, I don't believe that. I really don't believe that. And with them pushing all these different vaccines, I don't believe that. I do not. I believe we are in the last days. And the days that we have right now are because of God's mercy. It's because of God's mercy. And the brother says, and when he began to change, it was like a surprise. Yeah, amen. That's exactly what I seen. Like what happening to me too. But could not stop himself. That's exactly what I seen. There was no stopping it. It was like instantaneous. It was like something happened. And I heard a video from like a Sister Celeste, and I got to go back and I'm going to listen to some of her videos. She said that there was a sound that the vaccinated could hear. And she said the sound, it was like a deep penetrating sound. It was like a sound wave, and the sound waves like kind of reverberated through the vaccinated. But the unvaccinated couldn't hear it because it was a frequency that we couldn't hear normally. And she said that this sound is what caused them to morph. And it says, God let her know in the spirit, now is the season for this to begin. Oh, my Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. She knew any day now. Yeah, that's exactly what God has been impressing in me. Any day now, any day that this is going to start happening, any day. That's why, as God is telling you to move, God is telling you to, as God is telling you to move, God is telling you to get ready. It's time to get ready. Right? Like the Bible says, do what the Lord says to do. Can you do it? Right now, don't wait, don't put it off. We don't have the time to put it off. We don't have the time to put it off. We don't have a second to waste. Because we know that the days are short. The days are short, and the night is coming where no one will be able to work. No, everything is going to be changed upside down. And it's just, I feel like how the Lord showed me with all these judgments coming in is that one wave will hit after another. and in between the waves, he likened them to waves to me, waves of rest period. So in between the waves was a little bit of rest, and then another wave hit, then another wave hit. And then from that point on, it's going to be event after event after event, and then it's going to be the great tribulation. So brothers and sisters, take your repentance serious. I want to see each and every one of you guys in heaven. I want to meet, give everybody a hug in heaven, and I want to come over and drink tea at your mansion, and you can show me and tell me what the Lord's done for you. And likewise, I'll tell you what the Lord's done for me. I was thinking about it earlier. I'm like, Brother Elby, I want to go fishing with you in heaven, and maybe we could go and fish on the lake and not even think about what's going on back here, and enjoying the rest of the Lord. Enjoy the salvation of the Lord. Talk about, hey, all of us flying in our garments that we receive and our crowns. God has so much in store for us in heaven. Our eyes cannot even receive, or our minds cannot receive what the Lord has in store for us. So, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I'm pleading with you that now is the time to get stuff right with your God. Now is the time to pray, fast, seek the Lord like never before. Turn off the TV, turn off the phone. Start seeking out what God has in store for you, where he's leading you, what he wants you to do. Seek to hear the voice of the Lord. What does thus saith thou? And that's where we need to be at as a bride. What does thus saith thou? Hallelujah. 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 So, brothers and sisters, I'm thankful. And let me pray with you real quick. Lord, mighty God, awesome Lord, Father, we ask you in the precious name of Jesus Christ tonight, Lord God, that you begin to move in our hearts, Lord God, and reveal to us the things that we're placing before you, the things that's going to keep us here, Lord God, the things that we're holding on to that we need to let go of, oh God, that you help us to let go if we can't let go on our own, whether that's a person, place, a thing, or ourselves. Lord God, the things that's going to keep us behind, Lord God, allow us to let them go and cast them off, no matter what they are, oh God. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord God. Reveal to us, oh God, whether that's a person, place, a thing, and whatever else it is, oh God, the things that we're putting before you. Father, help us to let go of them, Lord God. Help us to move and grow more in the spirit in you, Lord God. Help us to turn off the TV. Help us to turn off the radio. Help us to listen to your word and grow more in your word, read your word, fast more, pray more. Like Brother Elby always say, to pray an hour, at least an hour a day, it'll bless your life. Hallelujah. Nudge us more, oh God. Nudge us more, oh God, on what you want from us to do, Lord God. Nudge us to what you want from our spirit, oh God. Allow us to repent, Lord God, on a daily basis, that whenever we sin, Lord God, that we nudge us to repent and remind us of the times that we're in, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, grant a hedge of protection and a wall of fire around us, Lord God. Put your linked angels around us, Lord God. Put our armor on, oh God. Put every piece of our armor on, the shield, our shield, oh God. Allow us to pick up our sword, oh God. Our helmet, our breastplate, oh God. Our belt, Lord God. Let us put on our boots, hallelujah, Lord God. Let us walk in the spirit as the mighty warriors that you commanded us to be, oh God. And walk in all the authority that you have given us, oh God. And all these things, Lord God, lead us and guide us to where you want us at, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Increase our faith and help us to get through the times that we're in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Shalom, shalom, my brothers and sisters. Shalom.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. Today I have a recent word from the Lord. I received this on October the 12th, and it is about the ongoing health program in the United States pertaining to one particular company, the first company that first came out with the injectables. And so this is a very long post, but I will only be covering half of what is in the message. If you wish to know everything that the Lord revealed in this message, you can go to the blog and read the whole thing for yourself. I always recommend that people be in the habit of going to the blog, go to the blog and read the messages for yourself. I want people to understand that I'm not sitting here for my benefit. If it were for my benefit, I would simply need to listen to the Lord and obey everything that he tells me. The Lord speaks to me constantly. The Lord reveals things in depth, showing me through dreams and through visions what things will be now, in the near future, and in the very distant future, when we actually are faced with the reality and we are actually forced to walk through a time that many of us cannot conceive of now. So if it was just a matter of for my benefit, I need only to hear the Lord, be still before him, and obey what he says. But the reason that I'm here time and time again, constantly bringing forth these warnings, is because the heart of the Lord is to warn and save not only his people, but to win many recalcitrant hearts to him. The word recalcitrant means that something is hardened and that something is stubborn and that something is kicking against an authority figure. Not that I, Celestial, and myself am an authority figure. But the Spirit of the Holy God that is in me and that reveals things to me for his service and for his end times purpose is definitely an authority figure. The Lord is preparing to bring judgment against this world. He has not given me any time frame for it, and I say often that I am grateful because I do not want to be one of those people that says next week Thursday or next week Friday, this or that. However, the Lord brings these messages so that we will wake up. He brings these messages so that we will be careful of our lives in this time and in this season. He brings these messages so that those of us who are fast asleep and thinking that certain things are going to follow a certain pattern, we'll begin to re-examine the basis of our theology. We'll begin to ask ourselves, what do we believe? And why do we believe what we believe? Where did we get that information? Why is it so deeply embedded in us? And how is it serving us in a time where our eyes are able to perceive great and difficult changes that have only just started to manifest? No matter where you are in the world watching this video, you have to admit to yourself that the year that you have just lived through, actually the last 18 or 19 months that you have just lived through, has nothing in common with the life that you were living prior to the end of 2019. So if you are able to reach that conclusion just by using your tactile senses, meaning your eyes and your ears and what you can see and touch happening around you, then why would it be so difficult to go deeper into an examination of what your expectations are, whether you are a Christian or not a Christian? What are you actually expecting to see happen in the days, weeks, and months and years ahead of us? Based on the trajectory that is happening now, if you had to give your best guess based on how you see governments behaving, how you see institutions behaving, how you see individuals behaving, how you see important institutions like the medical institution, political institutions, how are they behaving in your nation? Are they behaving according to scale? Are they behaving according to your constitution or your parliamentary rules or your executive rules or your judiciary rules? Are things being obedient to the set order that you've spent your whole life following and trusting? If you can see that things are not going in that direction, then I have to say that it's maybe worth examining what your expectations are and perhaps opening your mind and your heart to other points of view. So I'm going to go into this prophetic word and revelation of the Lord. It was actually two parts. Even though I did mention in the comment section of this post, I mentioned that the first part that I saw, the Lord doesn't seem interested in divorcing it from the second part, but for ease of continuity on this channel, I will separate them for now, and when the time comes that I begin to cover these issues and these situations that the Lord has revealed to me, I will revisit this part. So in the very early morning, I would say it was about maybe 6:30 or 7 a.m., on October the 12th, the Lord began to speak to me about these injectable solutions, and he spoke very clearly, and I'm just trying to get to the part of the prophecy where the Lord said that. So this information that I'm going to share with you, the Lord revealed this information to me. He said these things. So whether you're the type of person to constantly want to contend things and say, no, I don't believe it, God loves his people, God will not allow this to happen, I have to tell you that I am fortunately or unfortunately almost at 10 prophecies concerning vaccines, and the Lord is not changing what he's saying. So if you're the kind of person who will hear the word of the Lord coming forth through a servant of the Lord and then think that this is a me versus you situation where I will say something and then you will counter it and then you will feel better in your heart because you've countered it, all I have to say to you is that feeling is a deception, because even if you think you've countered it, you've actually changed nothing, because the word that the Lord has given me is firm, it is consistent, it is not changing. And in fact, when the Lord began to speak of this issue again, I automatically knew that he wasn't saying it for my benefit. He was saying it for the benefit of the people out there who may still be trying to make a decision as to if they should get these things or not, or the benefit of the people out there who have already taken it and think, well, nothing happened to me. I feel great. My wife and I just went to, you know, Key Largo and we're fine. You know, we just spent a great 2 weeks of holiday. And what I have to tell you is one of the things the Lord said about this is that the damage from it and the destruction of it and the destruction that will come to your life if you have taken it is cumulative. So when something is cumulative, it doesn't happen right away. It's not instant. It doesn't have an instant result. Cumulative means can only be observed over a period of time. So you actually need to accumulate data and experiences over time to be able to reach a final estimation. So it's like kind of getting a tomato seed in. It's a kind of tomato that you've never planted before. You plunk this in your garden and it's not growing overnight because it's not Jack's magic beans. And it's not growing in a week and it's not growing in 2 weeks. It's going to take a period of time until it grows up. And even when you see it growing up, you can see, well, okay, the tomato's growing, but I still don't know how it tastes. You will only be able to know if it is a good or a bad tomato when you finally wash it, put it to table, and eat it. The taste of the tomato will tell you whether it's a natural tomato, a GMO tomato, a flavorful tomato, or not a flavorful tomato. And this is what we call a cumulative effect. You can only make a final decision over whether it was a good or a bad decision over time. And so, the Lord gave me this information, and I'm going to give it to you exactly how I received it from him. And that way, I don't need to keep saying, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. These are the things that were shown to me in pictures. These are the side effects, many medical terms that I'm not familiar with. But what I do know is that this information came from the Father with the intention to warn people, to strongly warn people, and to save people's lives. And so this is what I now pass on to you. The Lord said that the P vaccine is the deadliest of all of them. He said that it is the one that has the highest casualty rate, and in the end, it will be the one that brings about the highest figures of terminal illness and death. So please hear me, because he repeated this many times, that the P vaccine will cause terminal illness. This is a sickness or illness that you can't beat. So it's not one of those diseases where you're going to fight it. You're going to go through the process. You're going to listen to the doctors. You're going to take the best plan of treatment. And then in the end, you're going to come out and you're going to say, you know, we beat this. It was tough, but I beat this. With terminal illness, the fact is that you die. And one of the things that the Lord said to me is that with all of these vaccines, there are many different horrible and painful side effects that I am going to go into in detail. But the worst and the most permanent of them, he said, is death. And so the Lord said that if people continue to take this particular one, they will become a casualty because the spirit of death has been released in the land, and death will be coming personally to many homes to take away the members of those homes for different reasons. So it won't only be vaccine-related deaths. The Lord said that people are going to die because we are now in the prophetic time where man is supposed to return to God. Man is supposed to return to the dust of the earth, and this is now the time of the end times harvesting of souls. So the first thing he spoke about was nerve, muscle, and tissue damage. Nerve damage, he was saying, is pinching of the nerves and deterioration of something called the neural impulse. So I don't really know what that is, but he said that when the neural impulse isn't working properly, you're not going to think or talk properly, and you will not be able to do the things that your nerves are supposed to empower you to do in the right way. And so you will have jerky movements, and you will drop things and spill things, and you will also shake. It says your synapses, this is synapses in the brain, will start to fire oddly, and they will trigger muscle seizures, epileptic fits, brain freezes, and other things that are related to nerve and muscle damage. You will also suffer excruciating pain that will make life very difficult and terrible to bear. Now, one of the things that I've seen in a vision, I've never written it on the blog, I can't remember, there's so much on the blog. One of the things that I saw is that when these injectables become widely taken in the youth population, so I'm talking about maybe ages 16 all the way up to probably 25 or a little older, those are very young people. One of the things that I saw is that paralysis happened. So a lot of young people suffered paralysis of the limbs, whether it was partial, temporary, permanent. And I saw the Lord gave me a picture, a vision of one young man who had suffered such terrible paralysis that he had totally lost the use of the bottom of his legs. So he suffered such extensive nerve and muscle damage that he could no longer walk, and he was confined to a wheelchair. And God showed me something interesting, is that young people are very highly motivated by peer culture. So I'm sure if you're the parent of a teen or even a child as young as 9 or 10, you've already started to see the horrible effects of what peer pressure and peer culture can potentially have on your child. Children want to be accepted by those in their peer group. They don't want to be different at all. They don't want to dress differently. They don't want to speak differently. They don't want to be perceived as any different from the herd. So at a certain point in a young person's life, what their friends think of them and how they feel about themselves has an extremely powerful effect on their mind and their psyche. And what happened to this young man is when he was no longer able to move around, when he was confined to the wheelchair, obviously it greatly affected his social life. So people still texted him and said, hey, buddy, how are you doing? Hang in there. But the fact of the matter is that because he was permanently paralyzed, his life was changed for the worse in a permanent way. It was irreversible paralysis that he suffered when he took his injectable. And the Lord showed me that this young man no longer was interested in living. So because he couldn't be cute, and even though he could keep his Instagram and his social profiles active, he was no longer able to meet up with other young people and interact with other young people. And he totally lost the desire to live. And at the time the Lord showed me the vision, he was in the family bathroom. He had locked the family bathroom, and he was trying to raise himself up in the chair enough to get poisonous and dangerous medication. It might have been Valium, it might have been Prozac, but definitely the kind of medication that puts you to sleep, and if it's taken in excessive doses, can kill you. He was trying to raise himself up from the chair to get to that high shelf so that he could take these pills and end his life. And as I was watching this vision, the Lord said to me that youth suicide is going to spike exponentially as a result of the side effects that will happen to them. And so I continue. The Lord said that there will be tissue damage, and the soft tissues of the body will rot and also stink. So in some places, people will see dark or yellowish or purple or bluish bruising, and the flesh will suddenly seem as if, you know, when an apple falls and then it develops that soft spot, and over a couple of days it becomes black and bruised in that area, people will experience bruising in their body, but the thing is that no one has hit them, so there's been no active trauma. Nobody hit the area. They didn't bump the body part on a table or a chair leg. It will just rot by itself. It will become discolored. big areas. The color that I saw in the vision that the Lord was showing me is black. So you will have huge blackened areas of bruising and other discolored patches that will suddenly appear on your body and they will not go away. And the Lord said that this is rotting of your soft tissues, tissue damage. And then I saw that people will lose blood. I do not know how people lose blood. Oh, yes, people do bleed. So there's been reports of women uncontrollably bleeding. So the Lord said that blood loss will be one of the side effects, and also blood vessels will burst. So there will be blood vessels, trauma to blood vessels that burst. And I'm not sure what burst blood vessels cause, but that will happen. And then he spoke of something called web lace damage. He called it neural lace. And so the brain is like a fatty tissue, that I know, in a very lumpy, the brain looks very lumpy, and then it's encased in some kind of bag. So our brain is in some kind of bag, just like you stuff meat into a sausage casing, and a sausage has that little bag to hold all the meat in. That's what our brain is like. And the Lord called it web lace because it is a web of neurons and other trigger points and other things, synapses and other things that are laced all over the brain. So he called it neural lace. But he said that this pea injectable is going to erode that lace like acid. So I saw something eating into the lace and it just began to shrivel, much the way that a spider web or a piece of plastic will pull away as soon as you put fire. That is what I saw, and it ate big holes in someone's brain, and then it affected the brain directly, and then you will lose what is known as cognitive function. So you will start to get very forgetful, even about things you did yesterday, like what did you do yesterday, what did you watch yesterday, what did you eat yesterday, and that is called short-term memory loss. You will forget what you said, and when people have to keep reminding you about things that just happened a few hours ago, or help you to keep it together because your mind isn't working properly, I saw the Lord said that the person will become very frustrated and they'll start to be angry, but he said that you have no one to blame for your but yourself for this happening to you. And I saw that people will begin to experience very choppy emotions. So the most common emotion that I saw was anger, that people will start to get angry for no reason and will be subject to extreme mood swings. And in some cases, it will be depression. In some cases, it will be, I think, maybe excessive euphoria for no reason. But most of these will be outbursts of wrath. So people will become extremely angry, very angry for very small things, or sometimes for no reason at all. They will be very angry. So I saw extreme wrath. Also what the Bible calls outbursts of wrath or outbursts of anger, and also sustained anger. So this person with the sustained anger will just be simmering, just constantly angry. And I also saw something called muted rage. He spoke about muted rage, and you will be able to see just by looking that a person is extremely boiling with anger, but they will try to mask it with another emotion like tolerance or patience, but you will be able to see that rage in them. And the Lord said that you need to be careful of such people because they can and they will harm you. Another side effect is chaotic thinking, where you can't finish one thought before you jump to the other thought and jump to the other thought. You will lose the ability to think in a linear and clear fashion, and you will not be able to express yourself normally anymore. This is because the computer of the mind is being scrambled, it's overwriting itself, it's glitching, it causes chaotic thought and conversation. Just a moment while I adjust the lighting. And next, he spoke of extreme forgetfulness. So you will start to forget basic things, lots of things, important things. And you will also, some people will experience something the Lord called pocket amnesia. So this is where you start to trail off in mid-sentence, the extreme forgetfulness, and you start to forget what you were saying. You won't be able to complete your thoughts. Pocket amnesia is forgetting only specific types of information while the rest of your brain is working fine. So you're not going to forget your motor skills. You're not going to be like people who have terrible traumatic accidents and they forget how to walk and how to feed themselves. and they have to learn the basics all over again, what will happen is that you forget specific types of information, such as your physical skills. So if you do metalworking or carpentry or what you studied at college, like law or accounting or media, all of that information will be blanked out from a special part of your mind. I do not know what that is called. But you will still know who you are. You'll still know how to drive and tie your shoes. But everything related to how you earn a living, so all that information that you learn perhaps as a professor at MIT or something like that, is going to be completely wiped out, and you will have pocket amnesia. Other side effects, he said, will be people losing time. So people will basically black out, and then when they come to themselves, they don't know what they've been doing for the last 5 to 7 hours. They're not aware that time has passed. He said that people will be staring into space a lot. Also, people will be suffering from a lot of sleepiness, a lot of tiredness. He said lethargy and extreme sleepiness, and it will be very hard to move your body or to feel motivated to do anything. Another side effect is that the neural pathways will be short-circuited and blocked. So I'm not too sure what the neural pathways are, but they are in the brain. And what I saw is that thoughts will not be able to come to you at all. So you will not be able to either have thoughts, which could lead to a lot of the blankness and staring into space, or you will stop thinking properly. And also it means that thoughts will not be able to be completed into actions. So it will be a situation where they put a ball in your hands and they tell you, just squeeze the ball, you know, just squeeze it, but you won't be able to squeeze it. Your brain will be giving you the instruction, there's a ball in your hand, squeeze it. And your eyes will say, I see the ball, I'm going to squeeze it. And your hands will be like, I'm the right hand, here I am, I see the ball and I'm going to squeeze it. But there will be absolutely no manifestation of this thought into an action. Your body will simply not be able to do it. And God says that when your body stops being able to turn the living impulses of your brain into action, you're going to be something like a functional vegetable, in that you will be sitting there and people will be telling you things. And in some cases, it will be so bad that people will be trying to get you to do things and you will not be able to even get your tongue and your throat to communicate to them that I can hear you and I can understand you and I want to do it, but I can't. And so he said that body temperature regulation will be affected. So a person will become like a broken thermostat. Some people will not be able to get cold. I mean, to cool themselves down anymore. They will constantly be hot and sweating. And some people will not be able to get warm. So no matter what you give them, no matter how many hot baths and soups, and you wrap them up and put the thermostat in the house up, these people will not be able to get warm. And speech centers will be affected. So there will be people who have slow speech, and there will be people who have slurred speech, and there will be people who have broken speech, meaning that they leave out parts of the thought or parts of the sentence. He even said that some people will become totally forgetful, like those who have Alzheimer's and dementia. So we know that those two are very progressive neural diseases, where you gradually not only forget how to do things and who people are, but you even forget yourself. You ultimately lose the self. So another thing he called epidermal rot. Epidermal rot. So your skin will become putrid and it will rot. It's going to erupt in lesions and sores, and it's also going to become very withery. It's going to wither, so it's going to look like parchment or flaky pastry. You're going to have discoloration, again, bruising, and in some rare instances, there will be skin cancer. So skin cancer will also be a result of this. Said that people's teeth will start to hurt and be loose. So people will suffer loose teeth and painful teeth. And there will also be internal corruption from the inside of the body that will lead to a very unmistakable smell. This is what God said, that you will smell very different, a different kind of smell that will even come out of your mouth, and you will not be able to mask it with gum or anything like that. But also it will be emitted through your pores. Another side effect is muscle fatigue and weakness. So people will experience tiredness, discoordinated movement, and again, as I mentioned, muscles not being obedient. They will not do what you want them to do. So people will be dropping things and they will have very shaky steps. And also some people will be falling down a lot more than they used to. And also, these are all the things that the Lord said will happen to people who have taken the P vaccine, and that it will be eventually become a leading cause of death that overtakes cancer. He said that it will make the death rate in the United States go up 3 times higher because it is extremely